But you're on, Paula, you're on mute.
Okay.
There you go. Well, you're back.
I blacked out for a while. I had to get back on.
Okay. Everybody just be prepared, because it seems like there are solar flares or some sort of electronic disturbances going on tonight.
Yes, it is true.
So we'll just do the best we can with what we got. It's funny, let's see. I'm sorry about Kathy. She was supposed to be trying to log in again.
And yes.
I haven't seen her back. Well, let's begin anyway. We'll send some love and some light to all of those who are trying to tap in but might not be able to at this moment. Couple of deep breaths. And just relax, soften. And let the energy of gentleness flow through you. Nothing to hold on to. Nothing to try to control. And just sense that what it would be like to breathe that gentleness, softness, to breathe that into your soul. To relax. That you can't force yourself to learn something, and you can't force learning to happen. But we can be open to it. Even when life hands us some unpredictable things. We're going to begin on page 103. And unless anybody has something that you need to expand on or talk about, we'll start from there. Right in the middle of the page. And this is kind of a very key element. I really like the way they said this. The true self's language is vibratory. And the language of the divine, while utilizing the small self's vocabulary, actually exists in a new way. While utilizing the small self's vocabulary. That's how we talk to one another. But not to get lost in old definitions or old ways of attempting to define something or explain it. Because what this in, I think in one of the first books, I think it was probably I Am the Word, the guide said through Paul that we could present this message to you without any words at all. We could do this without a book. Because all of this is happening on a vibratory level. We could just simply raise your vibration. But because you are creatures of planet Earth, and this is how you do a whole lot of your learning, it would be rather foolish of us to deny your intellectual or lower self's need for some of this input to be able to make some sense out of it. Because your mind would be continually questioning, if we just did the vibration, your mind would be continually questioning about, well, am I doing it right? Did I get something out of that? Did something happen? So to avoid that, let's say that intellectual trap, they are taking care of our intellectual needs as well as our spiritual ones. While utilizing the small self's vocabulary, so they're using words that the mind understands, but we're not using the mind, we're not using lower consciousness to get to higher consciousness. We're recognizing that through higher consciousness, that lower consciousness is still there, and that we still have needs when we're living in that place. And we're using the language of lower consciousness because that's what the mind understands. But the true teaching, the learning, is taking place in here. Not in here, but in here. How did the little prince put it? It is only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. It is only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Through intonation and verbiage, the descriptors you use in new ways are simply significators of your new relationship with that which is now manifest. I have a new relationship with my higher consciousness. Might be a simple way of putting that. I have a new relationship with my higher consciousness. Again, the divine self is the one expressing here. And while she has the ability to utilize all you have known, she is translating language or vibratory tone in explicit ways with profound effect upon the outside world. So this is happening within each one of us, but it's also affecting the world that we live in. So it's not like my body, my mind, and my spirit has a hold of this, and it's mine. Ah, I got it. I am you by being here this evening. You have been or become the embodiment of the St. Francis prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Let me be the transformer of lower vibration to high vibration. Let it move through me. In fact, there's a form of Buddhist meditation called Tonglen, which is very, it's not talked about too much because it's kind of threatening, I think, and scary to us in the Western world. But what it's all about is that if you're willing to do this, is that if something negative or something fearful comes up, let's say in another person or in the world itself in general, is that you become willing to take that in, even if it's physical illness of somebody else's, you become willing to take that in and to allow it to be transformed into higher energy through you, through your being. Now, we might even do this, not even in a conscious way, but let's suppose you are, I didn't intend to go back down this particular pathway, but here it is anyway. Let's suppose you're with a friend of yours when you hear about a friend of yours who is ill or going through some health challenges or going through some, let's say, psychological or spiritual challenges, you know that you could pray for them. You know that you could open your heart and compassion to them, which would be helpful. And anytime somebody is present to me in higher consciousness is always helpful to me. But we could also, sometimes we also take that a step further without even consciously doing this, of wondering in our own mind, what else can I do for this person that I love? I cannot, this is lower consciousness, I cannot take on their stuff. In other words, I can't take on their stuff with my lower consciousness. But what I can do is I can allow myself to be a transformational energy for what is going on in their lower consciousness and allow that to be translated to and through me into higher consciousness to be able to give back to them in a way, in whatever way they can accept that or take that in. So I think we do this already in some respect.
Sherry?
But I think bringing it to consciousness can be extremely powerful. Yeah.
When you're talking about this, what comes to mind, and I don't know if this is what you're trying to say, is you've heard the term, God puts people in our lives kind of like God with skin on.
Can you say that again, Betsy?
When I've gone through rough times and I've seen other people go through rough times, God has sent people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it God with skin on.
Okay. Yeah, I certainly believe that's true.
Is this what you're alluding to in this passage, or
it's a little bit like it's a little bit? I would suggest it's somewhat deeper than that. When someone I love is living in a challenging time or challenging circumstances, it's certainly going to push me to open my heart in compassion and to learn whatever it is I might need to learn from them, you know, because they're showing up as my teacher as well. Mm-hmm. With this particular, and I don't want to get too intellectual about this, so you might need to understand this on a vibrational level as best you can. This Buddhist meditation, which I am still learning about, I'm certainly not an expert on, but sort of takes compassion, which involves spiritual understanding and nurturing, it takes compassion to what I might call a deeper level, and says, not only am I going to be compassionate with you, but I am going to allow myself to be a conduit, an energetic force that is going to transform your negative energy, or what you might be holding on to, your negative energy, will be able to transform that into higher vibration, which you can either accept or not. It's up to you. Does that help any?
Still rather confused, but go on.
Try not to understand it with your head. Imagine what it would be like if you could, and this is a bit of a metaphor here, so don't take it literally. But right. if you could take the negativity or the lower vibration that's going on with someone you love, if you could take that and transform that into a higher vibrational healing and learning, that's what that meditation is all about.
Okay.
Now, I'm not suggesting you go out and start practicing that with everybody you come across, because it involves people. people study that particular practice for years, because it's not about taking something on, taking. See, I used to think this when I was started working as a therapist. People would come in to see me, and they would have this huge tale of woe that would be going on in their lives. And because I was such, and hopefully still am, because I was such a kind of a loving human being, without realizing it, what I would do is I would take on their stuff. I would take on their anger, their fear, their helplessness. I would take on their stuff. And then they would leave and they would feel a whole hell of a lot better, but I would be feeling like crap.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I learned later on, obviously, that it's not about taking on their stuff. It's about opening myself. I'm not creating anything new here. I'm looking at myself as a way and a means of higher consciousness, that I am willing to be the transformative element of your lower vibrational energy. I'm going to allow it to pass to me and through me. And because I am an instrument of the divine consciousness, I am allowing that to flow through me. And as I do that, it comes out the other side. It comes out not only me being free, but you being free as well. Now you have the opportunity another way of doing this might be a simpler way of putting this, Betsy. And I hope I'm not confusing the issue. But when Margot and I were studying energetic healing, Reiki, healing touch, things of that sort.
Right.
That one of our teachers very, very strongly said, now this is not about taking on someone else's illness. It is about allowing the energy of the divine energy of healing to flow to you and through you to this individual. It's the divine energy that's doing the work, not you. As soon as you start thinking that you're doing the work, right, you are actually depleting yourself. You're taking away your own energy in a way I know you're lovingly trying to give that to somebody else, but that it doesn't work that way. It works only if you allow yourself to be. That's why I referred to the St. Francis prayer a couple of minutes ago. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. So I don't say, well, I'm going to take on the world's hatred and everything's going to be okay. No, I am an instrument of your peace. I am allowing hatred to be transformed through my awareness of my divine consciousness. I am allowing it to be transformed into love. Sorry, I hope that didn't muddy the waters too much, but that just sort of came to my mind.
That actually cleared things up.
Paul is asking again, what does that mean? You might recall some of you who were there with us Sunday. What the guide suggested was that practically all of the questions, practically all of the questions you ask are coming from your lower self, your intellect, who is looking for answers to questions that really go beyond the intellect. So we're not condemning you for that. We're just saying simply, that's not really where the answers are going to show up. But Paul is always asking, what does that mean? And see, that's the intellect looking for a way of understanding something that goes far beyond what the intellect can possibly understand. That's why it doesn't work. Or it only works for about 5 minutes. So the intellect's very satisfied for about 5 minutes and says, oh yeah, but what about this? What about that? And then I go, well, I think I'll have to take that book off the shelf again and find out what it said. And that will satisfy my mind maybe for about 5 or 10 more minutes. But then as soon as I put it back up on the shelf again, my mind's going to say, well, what about this? What about that? So you'll recognize with the Course in Miracles or any other spiritual path like that, that one of the things that they're doing consciously is continually defusing the intellect's needs for answers, saying that's the intellect is only as good, as the answers that it's got 5 minutes ago, because it's going to change. It's not going to be enough. Now, what does that mean? He asked. And the guides are very patient. I think it was in one of the earlier books, I think it was the second one, for some reason or not, when they got to the question and answer things, I could almost feel this exasperation that the guides had of this thick yo-yo here who can't quite get it. And they were going, you know, what's it going to take? And, you know, they realized that's just being human. And so they stopped beating the hell out of Paul and said, well, I think we'll answer your question as best we possibly can, but we're not going to answer it in a logical, intellectual kind of way. We're going to answer that in a way that speaks to your soul. Things are spoken into being in recognition of what they truly are, not what they have been, what they are right now. And the realization of the divine as you, there are those words again, the divine as you, or the word in action, is an articulation, not only of tone, vibration, and consciousness, but it is the conduit for the expression of the divine to flow through. And the divine as you is in no way limited by the articulations that you have utilized through history. In other words, your consciousness of the divine as being the truth of who you are is not limited by who you thought you were yesterday, nor should it be. And so when you recognize the truth within yourself today, please try not to say, oh, that's just like what I thought about yesterday. Oh, yeah, I know that was on page 105. Stop for a minute and say, whether I am intellectually conscious of this or not, is that I am allowing myself to become aware of higher vibration that exists in this moment. Not 5 minutes ago, not 5 years ago, not 5 days ago, but exists in this particular moment, because that's the only moment it can exist in. The divine as you in no way is limited by the articulations that you have utilized through history. So you can know the truth of who you are yesterday, and maybe have come across that and through some experiences. But understanding or getting in touch with or aligning yourself with the truth you are today is not the same as the you that was doing that yesterday. The truth you are aware of has expanded itself in a way that your mind does not and cannot understand, to a larger way of realization than it was yesterday or even 5 minutes ago. Is there a new language, he asks. Again, we have to say, Paul, what we introduced this class with was the simple idea that this says it much better than I can, that the small self will seek to identify the divine self and claim it as he thinks it should be, when in fact it is the divine self that claims the small self and reinterprets it and reclaims the world through its expression of the small self. So I don't throw the small self away, but it continues to be a vehicle and a conduit for my expression of my higher consciousness. It's that unique lens that we talked about a while ago. It's that unique lens through which the divine consciousness shines through. The unique lens being my ego and my personality consciousness that is different for everybody on this planet. It is that unique lens through which the divine consciousness shines through. That's just another way of saying what they're saying right now. So you don't have to throw anything away. You don't throw out your lower consciousness. You don't say, oh, that's a question from my lower consciousness. Doesn't mean it, doesn't make any difference, doesn't mean anything. Say, oh, there's my lower consciousness looking for an intellectual explanation for things, and it's probably not going to get anything that's satisfactory. So let me realize instead, the way they put it here was just beautiful. The simple idea that the small self will seek to identify the divine self, seek to define itself through the divine self, and claim it as he thinks it should be, when in fact, the divine that claims it is the divine that claims the small self and reinterprets it and reclaims the world through its expression of the small self. So you don't throw it away, it's still there. I mean, that's what I'm doing every Tuesday night. My small self, my lower vibration consciousness is sort of the lens through which the divine wisdom, the divine thought, the divine energy expresses itself, okay? I'm not a blank screen here pretending that I'm not here, pretending that I don't have a body, that I don't have a mind. And then, just divine wisdom flows through me. No, what I do is as best I possibly can. That's why sometimes when I'm answering a question of yours, I need to pause for a little bit. Because first of all, my mind already has an answer. Okay, it's really good with that. My mind already has an answer to Betsy's question. But I got to shut the hell up and be quiet for a moment to allow the answer to come to me and move through me. Because that's the only way that it works. The divine as you, not you as the divine. Get the sense of that? The divine as you, not you as the divine. And the language of the divine in texture and fabric, in tone and vibration, simply means that the one who speaks is operating in the upper room, is operating in higher consciousness. What is articulated at that level of intonation and vibration and tone has a causal effect upon the expression of the manifest world. It touches everyone and everything. I don't think any of us would be here together if I was just talking out of my ego consciousness. It just wouldn't happen. I mean, we'd go, oh yeah, right, yeah. What you see, in fact, as the realized self is the reinterpretation of history in a higher form. In other words, we are not negating history. We are lifting you beyond it, where you may newly claim the vibratory world or the octave of expression we call the upper room. Now, each of you who comes to us in identity seeks penance. Interesting word to use. Tell me what I must do right and must release. Tell me what I have done wrong so that I may rectify it. When John the Baptist came out of the desert, he said, repent. And what that was interpreted in the early church and the early translations of the gospel was that you've done something wrong that needs to be corrected. In other words, you need to do penance. You need to make sacrifice. You screwed up. And you must admit you screwed up in order for that screw up to be healed. Whereas the literal meaning of the word repent was see this, see your life, see who you are. The good news is you're not who you think you are, right? See yourself as you truly see yourself differently than the way you defined yourself before or the way other people defined you as, because you are not who you thought you were. There's no necessity for penance, retribution, or punishment, because you didn't do anything wrong. You just forgot who you were. Tell me what I must do right and must release. Tell me what I have done wrong so I may rectify it. And these are the new ways we would answer those questions. This is beautiful. These are the new ways we would answer those questions. The small self who seeks penance or to abnegate what she is or to self-define in low vibration is in fact what is reclaimed or renowned or repronounced by the true self in the claims we have offered you. And the claim, I have come, or I know who I am, I know what I am, I know how I serve, which is the manifest divine in full expression for the service to the world she can offer, is the articulation or the renunciation of what has been. The simple words that I've used so often is, the good news is, you're not who you think you are. And what we are doing is we are letting go of who you thought you were. That's simple. And by doing so, you're making room for realizing or ratifying or being in alignment with the truth of who you really are. And don't be discouraged if you forget, because you will. There was a book out years ago called The Rules for Life and How to Play the Game of Life and How to Play It. I forget what the author's name was. But there were these 10, there weren't 10 commandments. There were 10 kind of, they were very good. They were very insightful. 10 really rules for living.
And last name is Shen. Is Shen?
Yeah. No, that's somebody. That was your word is your wand, I think.
Oh, I have her book. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, there were 10 really beautiful statements about ways to live your life in a conscious way. And I remember going through them one time, and I was going in my head and my mind and said, I got to remember what that is. I got to remember those things. And come down to number 10 was, you will forget all this. So here were these wonderful reminders about how to live your life. And the last reminder was, what life is all about, or at least on planet Earth, what life is all about is you will probably forget who you are. You'll probably forget what you learned yesterday and go back to your own learning again. But don't beat yourself up because of that, because that's just part of the trip. When you wake up again, when you become real again, when you recognize who you are again, you have a choice. Beating yourself up for falling asleep, or being grateful for being aware again. That's my choice. You're on mute again, Paula.
Lawrence, yeah. Scoville Shin.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. The Game of Life and How to Play.
Okay, thank you. Now, see what my mind does. I'm gonna have to run out and get that book now.
Yeah,
that's what my head does, right?
I know it.
And it's beautiful. It's just my head.
This is the complete works of her.
Oh, the complete work. That's even better. Okay.
We have other things. Your word is your wand.
That was the one I was thinking of. Well, now I have to get the complete. I can't just get the one, you know, the Game of Life.
I got to get
the complete works. Right?
You should get the complete works, not just the one.
But it's amazing what my mind does with something like that. Okay. And what we're doing here tonight is we're saying, yeah, isn't that interesting? That's what it does. And as soon as I get wrapped up in my head, I also get wrapped up in limitation. I get wrapped up in, am I okay? Am I doing it right? What other books do I need? Now, by renunciation, what we mean is you are no longer ennobling fear, the small self sphere, or the small self negation of who and what she is. You cannot call yourself names as the true self. In other words, judgment does not exist in the upper room. Comparisons don't exist in the upper room. That's how I tell when I'm there or not there. It's preposterous to think you could. So the suffering self or the small self with the whip in hand, you know, the flagellation. Actually, that was part of religious life for a long time. Is they would, a monk or a nun would be, in after they took their vows, would be given a flagellate. It'd be like a cat of nine tails, right? And especially on Fridays, you'd beat the shit out of yourself. I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. Great stuff. I've got the scars to prove it, right? It's preposterous to think you could. So the suffering self or the small self with the whip in hand is actually held and renowned and in fact appropriated in high service because there can be no aspect of you that is separate from the source. There can be no aspect of you that is separate from the source. Am I beating myself up? And I don't know about you, but not only do I run out and need to get that book, but I probably need to beat the hell out of myself for not having the book in the first place. You should have known better. He interrupts again. You can see where all of this stuff really engages the intellect in a way that it's looking for answers in a particular way, looking for satisfactory. See, the intellect wants to get, I want to do this right. I have such a need to please God. I need to do this right. I have such a need to please you. I have to do this right. I have such a need to get this finished. I need to do this right.
Do you ever wonder why are we like that? Why did religion express this thing of sinners when Jesus supposedly taught the opposite? Of course, Jesus came along much later, you know. Time has been going on for a long time.
Sure.
Is it control? Control the people? This is how they controlled people?
That would be the short answer. Right. Mm-hmm. The priestly class were obviously so much better than everybody else. Right? If I convince you you're a sinner, that you're no good, that you need me, that you need wisdom, that you need this divine, need this higher consciousness, which the scribes and the Pharisees certainly embody, right? Then essentially I am in control of you. I am in control of you. So the short answer to that is that yes. That's one of the reasons why the scribes and the Pharisees were so threatened by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because essentially he threw away their authority. What he was saying is, he didn't say this in these exact words, but essentially, your authority comes from fear. Your authority comes from you convincing that other people need you to direct their lives. And so they had a real problem with that because he was taking that away. He was saying, no, you guys are in charge of your own lives. In fact, you probably know more than the scribes and the Pharisees know. In fact, the hookers and the tax collectors, they're the ones I'm going to have dinner with. Because they know more about life and forgiveness and healing than you could possibly imagine. And so the guys who were in charge of religion at that particular time, the guys who were in charge of the rules in that particular time, they were not terribly happy at all about what Jesus was saying. He never confronted them and said, you're wrong, you're bad, there's something wrong with you. Well, he did confront them a couple of ways, but in the most loving way possible. But he was essentially what he was saying is, look, you guys have taken over other people's lives with fear. That's not what it's about. Nor can it be about that. However, we have to say that if you have had an investment in fear or in anger or in shame or self-doubt or debasement, they may need to be renewed in order to be acclimated to and then moved beyond as you lift to the upper room. So in other words, in order to be in the upper room, higher consciousness, Christ consciousness, whatever word you want to use for that, right? I've got to be able to let go of the baggage that I've been holding on to. It's like cutting off the sandbags on the hot air balloon. The balloon's not going to get off the ground unless I cut the sandbags off. Or in, remember that movie, The Mission? You know, Robert De Niro killed his brother in a duel. And the penance, interestingly enough, that the priest gave him was that you have to drag around this bag of rusty old armor for the rest of your life. This is your penance. And so in one scene, when they're in the New World, and here's Robert De Niro crawling up this mountainside with this bag of rusty armor clinking and clunking behind him, right? And he's climbing up this hill with next to a native. And you could see his fingers were just about ready. He's just about ready to lose his grip, fall off the mountainside. And this little Indian pagan guide, right, who had no concept of the Christian God at all, reaches out with his machete and cuts the rope. And this bag of crap falls down. And that's the only way he could climb up the mountain was by letting go of his garbage. Now, whether or not he kept with that lesson or not might be an interesting story or not. But you can't get there. How did Jesus put it? It wasn't a parable so much as it was a gospel story, sometimes referred to as the rich young man, mm-hmm. who was very, very dedicated and said to Jesus, you know, what should I do, you know, in order to be able to enhance my life spiritually? And Jesus said, obey all the commandments, right? And especially love yourself and love God. And he said, well, I already do that. I do that to the best of my ability. And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, if you really want to do this, and again, this is just his message. This might be different to each one of us. But if you want to do it the way you see, you're really called to do it in this respect, go sell what you have and give to the poor and come follow me. And it said the young man turned and walked away sadly because he had many, many possessions. And the disciples said to him, well, how can anybody enter the kingdom of heaven? And he said, well, it's difficult sometimes, but you can't do it with the baggage. He said, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man entering the kingdom of heaven. And so, is that even possible? Now, as the story goes, the way I heard it was that there was a gateway into the city of Jerusalem called the Eye of the Needle. And it was very small and tiny. And in order for a camel to be able to get through, especially a camel that was loaded with stuff, is the camel had to get down on its knees and crouch and almost be pushed through this very small open. It was possible, but it was a difficult task. So in comparison to today's lesson here, you can't get there. You can't get to the upper room and when you're still holding on to a lot of junk that your lower consciousness thinks it needs. What would it be like if I let go of my guilt? What would it be like if I let go of my fear? Now, again, the mind's going to jump in and say, well, you can't do it at all because you've still got a lot of fear. You still got a whole lot of stuff that needs healing in your life. You still got a whole lot of stuff you need to change. And you got to change all of that before you can enter into the upper room. He said, no. No. What allows you to enter into the upper room is your willingness. Your willingness to let go of the stuff that might be getting in your way. Because willingness allows divine consciousness to take over and to do whatever it needs to do in order for you to be able to heal, to transform, or to let go. It is not something you do with your lower mind or consciousness, but your willingness, kind of pushing yourself up to that point, your willingness is what allows that to happen. So it's not going, well, do I still have stuff that I need to let go of? Am I perfectly clear? Am I perfectly clean? Am I perfectly free from everything? Probably not. Does that mean you can't get into the kingdom? Of course not. Am I willing to let go? Am I willing to release those things which are holding me back and allow my divine consciousness to do whatever healing, whatever release, whatever transformation it needs to do? Am I willing to allow that to happen? That's my job. In fact, there is no self-abasement at that level of vibration, high vibration. When I am not in judgment, when I'm not beating myself up, it's just not there. So what you integrate in some ways is what you may call acceptance or allowance. But for the purpose of integration, of moving beyond what has stood in the way of your expression, there is no need for something. If there is no need for something, it will be left behind. If there is no need for something, it will be left behind. I am perfectly safe. If it requires integration and realignment through you, if there is a purpose for it still, if it's still around, you might be learning something from it. You can still be in the upper room and still be learning. If there is a purpose for it still, it will be made known and reclaimed in the harmonics that we call the divine self in its expression of tone. It will be taken care of, not by your lower consciousness, but the higher realization of the truth of who you are. So you see, we're working with this. We're not denying what needs to get worked on. But we're also saying you don't have to finish everything you need to finish in order to be able to get to the upper room. If it's still there and you're still open to learning, if you're open to learning whatever it is you need to learn, it's fine. It's not baggage anymore. The difference between having stuff that's baggage that I don't need anymore and stuff that's still around that I'm still learning something from. Big difference, huge difference. If it's still there, am I willing to learn what I need to learn from it and still allow myself to be in higher consciousness? See, the mind cannot live in that paradox of duality. The higher self has no problem with that at all. Of course you can. I was reminded of that when I was thinking about my grandson a while back. And I was thinking about how much I care about him and love him, I want to love him exactly where he is. Just perfectly, exactly. Whatever's going on with him, I love you exactly where you are. And I discovered, I love your becoming as well. I love what you are opening yourself up to. And the mind says, well, you either have to have one or the other. And my heart, my soul says, you can have both. I can love you exactly where you are, and I can love your becoming at the same time. I can do both. My soul can do both. My heart can do both. So I'm going to ask you to put your stuff down. A couple of breaths. Just breathe and soften. Whether you realize it or not, all the way through tonight's lesson, is we have been in the upper room. We have been in higher consciousness. Every once in a while, we'll throw a little morsel at our intellect to keep it satisfied. And yet the deeper reality of the work we are doing together is vibration, tone. That keeps us and allows us to be in a higher realm of Christ consciousness, where there is no judgment, where there is no fear, where there is no grasping. You are free, you are free, you are free. Notice the spaciousness. In the words of Thomas Merton, I know that the desire to please you does in fact please you. All of my needs, all of my wants, all of my desires, either higher or lower vibration, are embraced by the truth of who you are, your divine consciousness. And as we sign off tonight, even though we will be going back to the things of the world, we can continue to know that the truth of who we are exists beyond all other forms of knowing. And nothing can take that away. It's what Jesus meant when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Christ consciousness is the way, truth, and the life. And nothing can change that. It has always been true and always will be true. and breathe. Rhythm of life, beating of your heart, the rhythm of your breath. In sync with all beings. And when you're ready to, you can stretch a bit. Open your eyes. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much.
See you guys.
Bye.
Hopefully there'll be less interference continuing forward.
Right. No more solar flares. Right.
No more solar flares. No more electrical surges.
And there's no books we have to run out and buy.
No.
Jerry.
You already got, whatever you're looking for is right here.